Looking past today's crisis in Europe to tomorrow's.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It is deadline day again in Greece. The private investors who have lent money to the country have a matter of hours to decide if they'll take steep losses in order to keep Greece out of a messy default. If all goes well, we'll get past this hurdle in the European debt crisis, but probably move on to another one. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is here live with his crystal ball from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So if we pass this deadline today and these Greek bondholders agree to a debt swap, then tomorrow morning everything's okay or what?
No. I mean, there will be a sigh of relief. It does look as if the Greeks will now get the first chunk of the second bailout loan in time to avoid what you say is it could be a messy default later this month. But is this the end of the crisis? No. And here's the problem. The Greeks have to keep cutting their budget to reduce their deficit to qualify for more bailout money. Gabriel Stein of Lombard Street Research says that with these budget cuts, Greece is locked into a downward spiral.
The economy grows weaker or rather contracts more, and that means that relative to the size of the economy, the budget deficit actually widens rather than narrows. That means that they can sort of never catch up. They have to run twice as fast to stay in the same place.
And before the end of this year, he believes the EU and the IMF will say to Greece, you're not meeting the bailout terms, you're not getting any more money. Then, he says, Greece will default and exit the eurozone, followed perhaps by one or two other countries.
And what about those others, Stephen? I mean, what about Italy and Spain and Portugal? Even if we get past this Greece deadline, are there problems there?
Well, Portugal's the most at risk. If Portugal went, then certainly Spain and Italy might not be that far behind. But the whole eurozone is creaking right now. For the first time, a major political leader in the Netherlands of all places, has called for his country to drop the euro. So this remains a deeply troubled currency block.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, the new iPad unveiled by Apple yesterday will hit store shelves next Friday, but perhaps not in China. A Chinese company has gone to court to prove that Apple doesn't own the trademark for the name iPad there and shouldn't be able to sell it. As Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai, the case is turning into a headache for the Chinese government.
If Apple wins the right to keep the iPad name in China, Chinese companies would likely protest how a big U.S. corporation used its clout to reverse a Chinese court decision. But if Apple should lose this case, other American companies in China will take notice, says Stan Abrams, an intellectual property lawyer in Beijing.
They're going to yell about it. There's going to be the usual op-eds being written about what this means. They're going to try to roll it into a big narrative about the state-owned sector and how private companies aren't being treated well. The usual stuff that you read every day.
The problem is, says Abrams, they wouldn't necessarily have a reason to complain. Abrams says the Chinese government is proceeding cautiously, not letting politics to enter into the debate. He says that's a reassuring sign that the Apple case, whatever the outcome, won't carry any broader meaning for foreign companies in China. A Chinese appellate court is expected to issue a final decision on whether Apple can call an iPad in China within the next few months. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up 2% in Tokyo and more than 1% higher across Europe. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 78 points to close at 12,837.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
How'd you like to have your own font? Something that only you use, and whenever anyone sees it, they know it's yours. Well, the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, wants to join a growing list of U.S. cities with its own typeface to be used in everything from stationery to street signs. Blake Farmer of WPLN reports.
The former industrial town of Chattanooga has experienced a renaissance with new art museums, bike trails, and walking bridges. In the midst of repurposed factories is a city-owned skateboard park. The added amenities attract transplants, and natives like 27-year-old biologist and skater Kevin Parr say they're no longer itching to leave.
tell me this. Has Chattanooga become cool enough to get its own typeface?
I'm not sure what a typeface is.
It's nerd speak for a font. European cities often have their very own. Some American cities have a special typeface, but not one that's been custom-made.
Alexandria, Virginia, for example, uses one of my fonts called Aviano Sans.
Jeremy Dooley designed a font just for his adopted hometown of Chattanooga called ChatType. It has a stencil look inspired by local railroads, bridges, and company logos. Jonathan Mansfield helped create ChatType.
It's to simply say, see how this feels? Chattanooga feels the same way.
A handful of businesses have committed to using the font. The creators are raising money online so they can provide it for free to city government. They hope it will be used in tourism materials and become a signature for the city. Designer DJ Trishler says he'd like to see the font on every corner.
It would be awesome if it was being used for that restroom sign. It would be awesome if all the rules for the skateboarding park over there had ChatType in it.
Chattanooga Councilman Andre McGarry calls ChatType a sexy idea that just needs to overcome some practical hurdles.
Well, it depends on a couple of things. Number one, it depends on a lot of paint.
For street signs, McGarry says ChatType needs to pass some legibility tests.
But I think if people really want to see this adopted, those pieces come.
ChatType's designers say it's only for the locals, but they hope to inspire what they call a typeface revolution when every big city has its own font. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And finally, back to that iPad unveiling. The big differences between the new iPad and the old iPad, it appears, are a faster processor and better graphics. But listen to how Apple CEO Tim Cook talked about it.
The new iPad, more amazing than the iPad 2. This is incredible. iPad is everywhere. iPad, 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 iPad. The amazing new iPad. We are just getting started.
Wow. Can't wait to hear what he says when it comes out in purple. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.